Hello, I'm Dr. Jonathan Barker, pastor here at Amazing Grace Baptist Church in Mount Airy, North Carolina. I would like to personally thank you for taking out time today to tune in to our preaching podcast. We hope that this message will be a great encouragement to your heart today.
The Bible says in Galatians 2:20, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Father, I pray that you help us tonight. I pray, God, that we get understanding from your word, Father. I pray, Lord, Father, God, that we would find help out of your word tonight to die to our old man. In Jesus' name, amen. And amen, you can be seated tonight. This morning we looked at attending the funeral for our flesh. And we looked at three different things this morning. We looked that it was a personal funeral. We looked that it was a painful funeral. But we also looked that it was a powerful funeral. And it is a powerful funeral. Really, verse number 20 kindly sounds like it contradicts itself. It says, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Crucifixion and living is usually not mentioned in the same terms, because crucified means that we die. Living means that we are alive. Can I say it this way? You can die to self and live in the Lord. Or you can live to self and die spiritually in the Lord. Because your fleshly desires, if you allow them to overtake you, your fleshly desires will kill your spiritual life. It will not take your salvation from you. Somebody say amen right there. But it will kill your spiritual life. You'll not walk in joy and happiness. We talked about it being a personal funeral. Nobody else can make this choice but you. We talked about eight different times in verse number 20 is a personal pronoun. Then we talk about this. It is a painful funeral because your flesh does not like to die to itself. It likes to go the way it likes to go. It likes to act the way it wants to act. And it's a painful funeral. But then we talked about it is a powerful funeral. Once you learn to die to yourself, you will be set free. You'll be liberated in the Lord. And I just say it this way. I've lived on both sides of that. And I'd rather die to myself and be set free in the Lord than to live to myself and not have the liberation of living with the Lord and walking with Him. Now, I want to think about this for just a second by way of introduction. In the Old Testament, you're familiar with the story of the children of Israel. The children of Israel was able to cross two different bodies of water on dry ground at two different separate times. You know, the first one was the Red Sea. God allowed Moses to lead the children of Israel out of Egypt's land and to cross over the Red Sea. And, of course, they crossed on dry ground according to the Bible. That is a picture of salvation. God delivered them out of Egypt's land and they crossed over. But do you remember the next time that they crossed over a body of water on dry ground? Does anybody remember where it was at? It was the Jordan. That's exactly right. It was the Jordan River, and they was going over into Canaan's land. They was fixing to possess Canaan's land. And God allowed the Jordan River to part and them to walk across on dry ground and go in to Canaan's land. That is a picture of our sanctification. Now, I believe that you would agree with me that it was a miracle that God parted the Red Sea and allowed them to cross the Red Sea and delivered them out of the land of Egypt and the hands of the Egyptian army. I believe that all of us tonight can agree that that was a great miracle and that salvation is a great miracle. But I want to submit something else to you tonight. I believe that we can all agree that it was a great miracle again when God parted the Jordan River and allowed them to cross over on dry ground at the Jordan River. You say, well, that's not a miracle. Well, go behind the church to the fisher and part it. and then dry it all up and let it be dry ground to cross over. Yes, it was a great miracle. You say, preacher, what are you saying? Here's what I'm saying to you. Salvation is a great miracle from God. But for sanctification to take place in your life, it's also a great miracle from God. It is God that allows us to do that. What did he say? I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but what? Christ liveth in me. It's not me living anymore. It's Christ living in me. It's not me walking anymore. It's Christ walking in me. It's not me talking anymore. It's Christ talking through me. And it is a miracle when we come to the place that we crucify our flesh and completely surrender it to Christ. Now, let me show you two or three things, and we'll be done tonight. I talked about it being personal. I talked about it being painful. And let me just back up to that. Paul didn't say that I died with Christ. He said, I am crucified with Christ. That is showing us that dying to the old man causes pain. It causes pain. Now, I said this, it's practical. I mean, it's powerful. Number four tonight, here's what I want to pick up at. This funeral is not only a personal, a painful, and a powerful funeral, but number four tonight, this funeral is a practical funeral. It is a practical funeral. And I know that in your minds you may be thinking, well, theologically it may sound that it's practical. But can I say something to you tonight? It is practical. Not just theologically, it is practical tonight. Galatians 2:20 is one of the most practical verses in your King James Bible tonight. Listen to how simple it is. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live, I live in the flesh, now live in the flesh. I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. It's practical tonight. You say, preacher, what do you say? It's practical. It's simple. We die to self and live to Christ. Let me tell you the reason you do some of the things that you do, because you want to. Come on now. You want me to tell you the reason I'm going to go home tonight and eat a BLT, praise God, with French fries and drink a, if we got any orange juice, and drink a Sprite? I was really hoping for some orange juice tonight. I might go to Food Line so we can have orange juice. But anyway, you want me to tell you the reason I'm going to do that? Because I want to. You want me to tell you the reason you act the way you do sometimes? Because you want to. Let me tell you the reason you do the things you do sometimes, because you want to. Because you allow the flesh to overtake you. You do not have to do that. You remember what the Bible said in Romans, and I'm not going to take time because I'm going to get done with this tonight. But you remember what the Bible said in Romans? We're dead to sin. We're dead to sin. I remember my grandpa, Brother Ramsey, saying this years ago. He said, John, I don't remember the last time I willfully sinned. And I thought, well, you sin every day, Pa. I didn't tell him that. You wouldn't have either if you knew my Pa Barker. I didn't tell him that, but you know, I just said, started preaching. You know what I done? I went home and got to studying what he was saying. And he did not say that he couldn't remember the last time he sinned. He said, I can't remember the last time I willfully sinned. Can I tell you something? There's a difference in sinning and willfully sinning. Willfully sinning is knowing that what you're about to do is wrong, knowing that it is contrary to the Word of God, knowing that you shouldn't do it, but yet you continue to do it. You're willfully sinning. Let me show you something. This is a very practical funeral. Let me show you a couple of things right here. You die to your own your old lust. You die to your old lust. Now stay with me. Lust could be defined as any sinful longing, any inward sin in our heart or mind that causes us to drift away If you was here this morning, you heard the opening, opening story about drifting. Anything that causes us to drift away from God. Today we think of lust only in a sexual sense, but it is more than that. The things that the old man wants to see, the places that he wants to go, and the things that he wants to experience are all included in this death and in dying to your old lust. Can I say it this way? Here's what the Bible said. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father. It's not of God, but he is of the world. 1 John 2:15 and 16. So you know what you can say? You can say every sin can be categorized in the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. One has said it this way. When a man or a woman is younger, they deal with the lust of the flesh. When they are middle-aged in their life, they deal with the lust of the eyes. When they are older, they deal with the pride of life. Can I say I believe that's true today? The lust of the flesh, there's a lot of things that has to do with the lust of the flesh that I don't deal with today that I did at a younger time in my life. But you know what we will deal with? We will deal with the lust of the eyes. We see what mom and daddy's got, and young couples my age will sink themselves head over heels in debt and never get out of it, trying to keep up with the Joneses. The lust of the eyes. But then they say as men get older and ladies get older, they deal with the pride of life. They deal with pride. Let me tell you somebody else that deals with the pride of life, probably as much as anybody else, a preacher that's got God's touch on his life and God is using. Let me tell you the reason why you stand up and preach and people walk out and go, man, I sure enjoyed that. Boy, that was great. You done a great job today. People walk the aisle and get saved. People get right with God. And before you know it, Brother Ramsey, I believe you'll give me an amen on this, we find ourselves dealing with the pride of life. But you know what every bit of it can be categorized in? Lust. 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 You know, I want you to hear me right here. You want me to tell you the reason? You want me to tell you the reason that you're dealing with bitterness is because of lust. Your flesh lusts after bitterness to hold a grudge against somebody. And if you're going to die, this is a very practical funeral. And if you're going to die to self, you're going to have to learn to die to your old lust. Listen to what the Bible said. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. James 1:13-15. So, preacher, what are you saying? You're going to have to learn to die to your old lust. Those things that your flesh longs for, those things that your flesh lusts after, Brother Randy, we have to learn to die to our old lust. Number two, we have to learn to die to our old logic. To our old logic. Think about this with me. Not only does the old man have the wrong desires, but he also has the wrong way of thinking. He has the wrong way of thinking. You ever thought about this? I'll get back with that person. I'll get them back. Come on, Brother Randy's the only person saying amen tonight. Let me tell you what that is. That's the old way of thinking. That's the old way of thinking. Can I be real honest with you? That's my logic every once in a while. Now y'all can say amen and we'll get done a whole lot quicker tonight. That's my way of thinking every once in a while, Brother Josh. Matter of fact, the past few weeks, I've struggled with that way of thinking on a few things. I've talked to my wife about a few things, and I said, you know what? I could do this, 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 and this right here, and I promise you. And you know what Miss Leslie said? You're right, honey, you could. But I didn't ask for that part. I asked for there to be a period at the end of "you're right." I didn't ask for a conjunction. But do you think Christ would be pleased with that? I tell you what, right now, bless God, I don't like the way he said that and what he said and how he said. I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm just going to go let them have it. You know what you're doing? You know what you're doing? You're living to the old man. You're living. I'm preaching real good tonight. You're living to the old man. You're doing exactly what the old man wants to do. And can I say something to us tonight? You're probably going to get upset with me, but can I say something to you tonight? When we live that way, it shows our true spiritual maturity. You ever thought this? Well, I'll kill them with kindness. Think about what you're saying. How much compassion? Come on. How much compassion was it? What did he say in Jude 22? And of some have compassion, making a difference. So when we say, well, bless God, I'll kill Brother Matt with kindness. You need to die to your old logic. Because our old logic is not that of Christ. Just as we die to the lust and desires of our heart, we must also die to the old thinking of our mind. Can I illustrate it? Here's you an illustration. The Bible is very plain. I don't preach on tithing hardly ever. Hardly ever do I preach on tithing. Probably once every 2 or 3 years. And I've got another message on it right now. And I thought the Lord was going to let me preach it a few weeks ago. And he's just not giving me the green light on it. I am not the preacher that, and I believe you'll have to agree with me, I do not hound people about giving. I'll say, hey, we're taking an offering. You give good to the Lord. You can't outgive the Lord. But as far as preaching a whole message on tithing, very rarely do you hear me do that. But you know what? It's scriptural. It's straight out of God's Word. It's the only thing in the Bible that he said, try me. He said, prove me. There's nothing else in there that you'll find that on. But he did on tithing. You say, well, preacher, that was under the law. No, that was before the law. People that says that just shows their ignorance of the Bible. Because, amen. I don't know a lot, but what I know, I know. And that was before the law. It was practiced before the law. And I say something to you now. The world's view of this is, why in the world would you give God 10%? That is our old logic. That is our old logic. The new man is, why in the world would I not give God his 10% back and some more sometimes? And some more sometimes. Here's what it is. It's learning to crucify your flesh. You say, preacher, do you think somebody can be saved and not tithe? Why, sure, I think somebody can be saved and not tithe. But I do not think somebody can be saved and not tithe and be right with God. You're not right with God if you don't tithe according to this word. You know what the Bible said about a man that didn't tithe? The Bible said that he was a God robber. He said that you've robbed me. You might as well reach in there. If you're supposed to put $100 in that plate today and you did, you might as well reach in there and took a $100 bill out of it when it went by you. Because that's exactly what he says in Malachi, that you have robbed God in your tithes and offerings. The world's logic is, we're crazy to give 10% back to God. Just throw a 20 in when the offering plate goes by and everything will be all right. But that's not what the Bible said. And now that we're saved, now that the Lord has moved into our life, we die not only to the old lust, but we die to the old logic. We got to die to that. We got to die to that. The world says it's all right to social drink. It's what the world says. But the Bible says, woe unto a man that puts strong drink to his neighbor's mouth. The world says it's all right to swap spouses. But the Bible says, can I go on? Do I need to go on and on? Our logic must change. The only way our logic can change is dying to ourselves. Let me give you another illustration. The will of God, knowing the will of God for your life, to the world, it's crazy. How many of you remembers Brother Mark Stroud? Brother Mark comes about every year and preaches a couple nights for us. Brother Mark, man, he's a preaching machine. He's about that big. Y'all know who I'm talking about now? And preaches. Usually whoever's singing that night stays at the piano, and I always get somebody that knows Brother Mark and knows the way it's going to be, because probably they're going to play the piano for about an hour while he exhorts. That's just Brother Mark. And you know what Brother Mark was before he went into the ministry? Brother Mark went to school to be a banker and was a very successful businessman in the banking world. When God called him to preach, and he walked away from every bit of that. I'm talking about from a huge salary, and would really be huge in this day now. Walked away from every bit of that and went into the ministry. You know what the world says? He's a fool. He's absolutely lost his mind that he would walk away from that. But you know what the new man says? Attaboy, you're doing the right thing. You've got to learn to die to the old lust and the old logic. Let me show you one more thing. You got to learn to die not only to the old lust and to the old logic. You got to learn to die to your old love. To your old love. What did he say? Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. For if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Love not the world. You got to learn to die to the love of this world. To the love of this world. I like what the songwriter said. This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blues. You've got to learn to die to the love for this world. Can I just say something? I love life. I love living life. I'm very blessed. God is good to me. But there's nothing in this world that I love any more than Him, and that I'd rather be with any more than Him. You must learn to die to the old love. The reason people live the life that they live sometimes is because they love living that life. The reason that you're drawn back to that sometimes is because you love doing the things that you did back then. But hear me and hear me well. Think about where that took you to. Think about what that brought in your life. And you'll find yourself saying, it is easy to die to that old love. When you start looking, when you start gazing, let me tell you something, the prodigal son didn't just wake up one day and go, I think I'll go see my dad today, and I'll get everything that I've got, and I'll go to the far country. That's not where that started at. You mean to where it started at? Probably 2 or 3 years prior to him doing that, he began to look towards another place. He began to think about something else. He began to long for something else. His logic, and he began to lust towards something else. And you know what he done? He never got complete control of that. And before you know it, his love changed, and he went. It all started with a look. Adam and Eve started with a look. They started gazing the wrong direction. Samson started with a look. He started gazing in the wrong direction. Hey, David, the man after God's own heart, it started with a look. He started gazing in the wrong direction, and before he knew it, he was in the bed with another man's wife. You better learn to die to your old love. You better learn to die to your old logic. And learn to die to your old lust. It's a practical funeral. I'll give you this and I'm done. Number 5. It's a permanent funeral. It's a permanent funeral. Come start playing softly. I was reading on this verse, and let me read you a paragraph that I read on it. Here's what it said. Christ died once and rose again once. I am crucified. In Galatians 2:20, the verb tense he chose indicates a one-time event that occurred in the past and that is currently affecting the present. The same is true in your life. The moment you were saved, your flesh died and lost power over you. That past decision of salvation currently affects your present spiritual life. You simply continually choose to identify with Christ, fellowship with Him in His suffering, and claim to promise that you have victory over sin through the power of Christ. In myself, I can't do this. In myself, I can't do this. In myself, I'll be in a mess before the sun comes up. In myself, I cannot do this. And you know what I have to do? I have to learn. Me dying to myself is a permanent thing. Sure, every morning I wake up and I battle the flesh, but I know I am crucified with Christ. I can choose to stay dead to the old man, or I, goes all the way back to point one this morning, it's a personal funeral. I can choose to let the old man rise up, and I can choose to allow the old man to have dominion over my life. But you know what I'm going to do by the grace of an almighty God? I'm going to choose. As for me, I'm going to serve the Lord. You know what Joshua said? He said this in Joshua chapter number 24, verse number 15. He said, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. But watch what he said before he said my house. As for me, take in my house out. As for me, I will serve the Lord. You know what? Sometimes we say this, as long as my wife and children serving God, I'm going to serve God. What are you going to do when they stop? As long as my parents are serving God, I'm going to serve God. What are you going to do when they're dead? You know what? My daddy is the closest man to God that I know today. He's the most praying man I know. He's got the power of God resting on his life. But what if I get a phone call in the morning and mama says, hey, I've caught your daddy in a mess and you need to come over here and talk to us. And I have to cancel the meeting at the end of this week. Am I going to quit serving God? Does me serving God, it's not a contingency thing. It's not contingent on daddy serving God or on Leslie serving God or on mama serving God. You know what? I may get home this afternoon and Miss Leslie go, you know what? I'm done with the ministry. I'm done with going to church. I'm not saying I'm done with our marriage, but this thing of serving God, I'm done with it. Does that mean I'm going to quit? Does that mean I'm never going to take my girls back to church again? It does mean that I'm going to resign from pastoring because my house is not in order. And according to the Word of God, that's one of the qualifications for me pastoring this church. It's for my house to be in order. And my house is not in order at that time. So effective immediately. Our bylaw says a 30 days notice unless. Effective immediately at that time, I would step down and resign from pastoring this church because my house is not in order. I no longer fit the qualifications. But you know what I do? With the help of God and by the grace of God, come Wednesday night, me and my three daughters would find ourselves in the house of God somewhere. It wouldn't be here, nothing against nobody here, but I would need to move on so the church can move on. You know what? If I go home tonight and say, I'm done, I quit, I'm throwing in the towel, honey. I love you, we'll stay married, but I'm not serving God no more. You know what? She would need to make a choice to keep our family. This thing's not a contingency offer. As for me, I'm going to serve God. As for me, in the morning when I wake up, I'm going to reckon myself dead to sin, and I'm going to serve God. Tomorrow afternoon when the old man rises up and the world tries to drag me into something else, I'm going to have to choose. Quit playing the blame game. Some people has never done nothing wrong. If they ever failed a class in school, it was the teacher's fault. If they ever didn't make it at a job, it was somebody else's fault. No, look up in here. Accept personal responsibility. When you go get into sin, you made the choice. And the old timers would say it this way: you made your bed, now you're going to have to lay in it. So you know what? I want to make sure as I go throughout my day, Brother Stan, that I'm making my bed the right way, because I am going to be the one that lays in it. So you know what I'm going to do, Brother Josh? With the help of God, in the morning I'm going to wake up and I'm going to quote Galatians 2:20. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. He died for me. He gave his life for me. He was beaten beyond recognition with a cat of nine tails. He had a crown of thorns placed upon his head. His bowels gushed from within. He died and took my hell for 3 days and rose victorious over death, hell, and the grave. So by the help of God and the grace of God, when I look at what he done for me, the least thing I can do is quit being selfish and die to myself and live to him. Amen. It's living to him. I live for him. You live for him. That should be our whole heart desire, is to please him and to live to him. Attending the funeral for your flesh.